Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Let's start with the intro and let's get the show on the road. Amazing Race, and it's going to be awesome. And thank you for everyone in the chat room. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, Amazing Race fans, to TAR's second Pit Stop Show with the host, Louis Stravato. Tonight is March 10th, 2013, and I'm Cherry Garcia. On air with me is Mr. Paul from Minnesota. We'll be co-hosting tonight for Louis Stravato. And I'd like to just mention that we do encourage our listeners to either call in at 347-237-5506 and chat with us on air if you have a question or comment regarding the Amazing Race, or if you're just too shy to talk to us nice people on air. You can also go to our live chat room on Blog Talk and type in your questions there in the chat room, and we will make sure that all of those comments and questions are attended to. But we really like for you to call in and talk with us. But a lot of people are a little shy, and we understand that. So the chat room is a lot of fun, too. There's a lot of nice people in there. We've got Mr. Mack and Thomas Space Ones is in there right now, and a lot of guests are in there, and there's always fun people in there that you can chat with, so feel free to jump in the chat room anytime. Paul, how are you doing tonight up there in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, we're doing just fine, Jerry. I want to insert my name. Polly. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, does it? No, it doesn't work.
You know, we haven't played one of my favorite clips in a while, and I just want, before we bring Louis on, I want to bring this up and play this because we don't get the house on here all the time. And I just want to play this real quick before Louis comes on, because every once in a while you just need a little laughter and a little bit of house rodent on the show.
So we need to do a new drop for Ron Rad to promote his Sunday show with Louie.
Louie from the Amazing Race 16?
Yep, the shorter, wider half of Team Detective.
Yeah, the guy with the creepy mustache.
What are you doing, Squirrel?
I'm hiding so the shorter, wider half of Team Detective shoots you first.
Chill out, Squirrel. Louie's not here, and besides, he's totally cool. He gets the joke.
Are you sure, HR? Because getting shot would really put a crimp in my nut-gathering schedule.
Don't worry, Squirrel. You'll have plenty of time to play with your acorns. Hey, Mandy, give it a rest, sweetie. Thanks to you, the Twitter's almost full. Twitter's full. So I'm not sure I want to do this drop. I'm kind of mad at Ron.
Mad at Ron? What for?
Well, when Ron had Mike, the taller, narrower half of Team Detective, on the show, it was pretty evident that Mike was sneaking stuff from the evidence locker because he kept bagging on my woman, Rachel.
Yes, HR, because anyone who doesn't share your opinion of Rachel is clearly high on something. But I still don't understand why you're mad at Ron.
It's Ron's show. I hold him responsible for the blasphemous statements of his guests.
HR, you do know where Ron is from, don't you?
Chicago.
And you do know what they put in deep dish pizza?
Let me guess. Cheese?
Let's just say you might want to apologize to Ron before you find yourself sauce deep in a hot oven.
Oh, maybe we should just do this drop. It's Sunday, and you're listening to the Rad Reality Show.
With Ron Rad.
And Louie from the Amazing Race 16. Thanks, Jordan. Now I'm hungry. Can we have pizza for dinner, Uncle HR?
Sure, Tip. Hey, Squirrel, how about making yourself into a road pizza?
Very funny, HR. Very funny.
I love that clip. I love every one of HR's clips. The house rodent just makes me smile. So, Paul, we do have Louie coming up. I can't wait to find out what he thinks about tonight's episode of The Amazing Race. Louie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
That's good. What's the matter? Well,
no, nothing was the matter. You asked how we were doing, and I wanted to first of all say I'm doing pretty good after what I got in the mail from you the other day. Thanks so much, Louie. That was very nice of you.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And
the $5,000.
Well, I guess you need to thank him a little more than me.
You weren't supposed to say anything, Paul. You messed up, man.
Oh, shit. Well, bleep. Doing it on the fly. Louie, I watched the second episode of Boston's Finest 2, and I am just in love with that show now. I don't know if you caught it or not yet, or not. But
no, I still haven't watched it, but I mean, I keep seeing the commercials, so I may try to catch it on demand or something like that.
It is pretty cool. It is so well put together and produced. It's just wow, and it's real. I mean, that's the thing.
Now, what station is that on, Paul? What channel?
TBS.
I think you're right, TBS. The same channel Southland is on.
Yeah, Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, and Wahlberg is the one of the producers.
And he also narrates. He also narrates much of it too. But I am so getting invested in some of these people, it's really, and I'm scared for him too at the same time. It's just.
To check it out. I need to check it out. I want to see it.
I know we talked about it last week, and I that's one of the shows we promote. Other shows that we enjoy and get into, and I think it's worthy of telling our listeners. That's a good one to check out.
Hey, talking about shows. I don't know if you guys watched the show Legit. It's on FX on Thursday nights. It's a comedy, and it's Australian comedian. He's hilarious, and the storyline is really funny. So I mean, you should guys check that out sometime too.
Really?
Yeah, you got to check it out. I mean, if you like comedy, that's a show to watch. So.
Legit. On Thursday night.
Legit. Thursday night at 10 o'clock, I think. 10 or 10:30. So.
I'm searching as we speak on my DVR. It's only fair. I promoted something. You just gave me a recommendation. So, and
yeah,
if
you have cable, go back on demand and watch it from the beginning, just so you get an idea of the characters.
Oh, and this is the first season.
Yes. So, I mean, it's like the fifth or sixth episode now, but I mean, it's a show. It's a funny show.
Oh no, I gotta ask you something because I search ahead and I see they're replaying episode 8. The current one this Thursday will be episode 9, but episode 8 is titled Hoarders. Maybe I don't want to watch that because I'm a bit of a hoarder myself.
It was hilarious. Me and my girlfriend just got done watching it. It was pretty funny.
So you saw that episode called Hoarders?
Yes, I did. Watched it. That's why I was a couple of minutes late calling in.
All right. Jim arranges an intervention after discovering that Janice has become a... Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'll watch it.
Boy, we just keep stacking new shows upon new shows upon new shows. And there's so many good ones out there. I mean, gone are the days when I used to beg for new reality shows to come on. Now there's so many, I can't find the time to watch them all.
Just wait. There's too many reality shows out there now. Just like, you know, they're trying to come up with different ideas and different themes, and it's just like some of them are so silly. I mean,
they'll make a reality show out of anything these days.
Please don't tell me you're Finding Bigfoot. You guys watch that show, please.
No.
That one I didn't, but I can't think right off the top of my head or whatever, but there certainly have been a number of losers. But talking about back in the day when there wasn't anything on TV, do you guys remember when it was just, there was no cable, it was just over-the-air TV, and like midnight or 1 in the morning, we would hear the national anthem, and it would go to a test screen. Come on, now we're going to date ourselves now, aren't we?
Oh, my God.
I don't remember that. What are you talking about, Paul?
Okay, yeah, you're too young.
I remember, I mean, I just remember that, you know, you went to the, like, the UHF channels.
Oh, yeah.
And... it was snowy, but you would just pull it in, you'd see Godzilla, or you'd watch the hockey games or whatever. You know, it was just like...
When they added UHF to it, it was almost like our cable back in the day. More channels,
Right. That was our cable back in the days, exactly.
when the hockey game kind of looked like Godzilla.
Exactly.
I mean, you just couldn't hardly see anything. Because it was on, you know, such bad channels, and oh my goodness, those, you know, and now you see these commercials where the 13-year-old is going in and talking to the little kids and saying, when I was younger, we didn't have wireless internet, you know, wireless cable, and those commercials kill me because they're talking, you know, they're 13 and they're talking to the younger kids in the house and saying, we didn't have wireless cable. We couldn't move the TV outside if we wanted to, you know. It's just amazing the technology they've come up with, you know, now.
God, it's crazy. I mean,
we didn't even dream of things like that when we were kids.
No. Nope. It wasn't even a thought. We were just happy sitting in front of me. Me and my sister and my brother used to fight over which nights, like who had what nights. And because I was the oldest, I got to choose the good nights. You know,
not fair.
All right, well, being oldest has its advantages. But you had you couldn't wait at night. I mean, like between 8 and 10 o'clock or whatever, 8 and 11 o'clock. You know, to watch your shows.
Oh
so,
yeah.
Those were the good days, man. They really were good days. You know. There's so too much. There's such an overload of different things, with the technological era and the TV and the, I mean, in all the cable channels, and it's just like, what is it, like over, you know, over 800 channels.
300 channels.
No, whatever.
Pick
yeah,
from.
It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you ever get bored and you're like, all right, you're going through your guide on the TV and you're looking through the channels to find something, and you can't find nothing. How is that possible? You can't find nothing.
I know.
Going through them all. You know, it's like, yesterday I was going through them, and then I saw Cheers, and I haven't watched Cheers forever, and I put it on. We were laughing. I was like, well, you know, great old comedies like that, you know, not really out there anymore.
Here's one that I know Cherry loves, or maybe it was Rich, but how about Barney Miller? That was one of my favorites.
Oh, that was a great show, man, yeah.
That was Rich's favorite. As a matter of fact, we just repurchased the first season of that because that is Rich's absolute favorite sitcom of all time. And we had the first few seasons, and, of course, they burnt in fire. So we found the first season the other day as we were out picking up a gift for someone. And when we saw it, we had to buy it. That's been his all-time ultimate favorite sitcom forever and ever, as long as I've known him. When I first met him, when he'd get home, Barney Miller would be on. There would be two episodes on as soon as he got home from work, like at 2:30 in the morning, and we'd watch Barney Miller as soon as he got home from work. And
yeah,
it was just so much fun to see those old sitcoms, and that was such a fun one to watch, you know.
Who's Rich's favorite character in Barney Miller? I have my favorite.
All right, before she answers, because I was just thinking that. Me and you are on the same wavelength right here. I would say that Fish was my favorite character. I love Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda, and he's still alive. So many times people said he was dead. I think he showed up in a Super Bowl commercial, you know, when he got tackled or something like that. My favorite was Jack Sue, Yamana. I loved him.
Well, I just asked Rich, and he said Fish.
All right. Although I was disappointed with the spinoff show, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. The sitcom Fish. Did you remember that one?
Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah.
Well,
not as good though. Not as good.
What did you guys think of tonight's episode? Before we get into it, it was crazy. The outcome was crazy. I mean, there was craziness tonight.
Should we do our spoiler alert?
No, we're gonna. I'm gonna ask a few just update questions of Louie before we get into that. But
sure.
No, I would say I'm with you on the ending. I want to really elaborate on that because that was an ending worth talking about. Let me just put it that way without spoiling anything. But it was a good show. It was a great location, Valley was, and but here's what I just wanted to get up to date with you. What's new in the last week with you? Are you fully back to work yet? Or?
Yes, I'm back to work. It's work, you know. It's back. It's, you know, Crimefoot and going out there and just dealing, you know, with the different things. I mean, you know, some of the stuff you deal with is just sad, you know. Like little kid doesn't have a shot in life. It you know, the way he's living now type stuff, you know. So, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. Like I said, I've been, you know, I'm just finished 26 years, so I'm going into my 27th year now. And, you know, I think it's time to move on and do a new job, you know, while I'm still young. So,
yeah. Did they do anything special for you on your 25th?
A couple of us got together. Nothing spectacular. But
the department doesn't give you
they don't do anything. They don't get it. They give you a pat on the back.
See you tomorrow.
Hey, you made it. But, you know,
well,
I was just looking at a quick stat. Like, back. It was 1931. There was they just put up this new board in my office. I mean, in my police station, and from 1931 to 1994, I think it was. Maybe it was 89. It was in the early 90s. Let's put it that way. There was not one police officer was killed in the line of duty between 1931 and 1990. But since 1990, we've had several that have been killed in the line of duty. But I just thought that was like a, you know, I mean, I know it's not New York or any big cities, but you know, Providence is pretty busy, so it's kind of a pretty cool stat, you know, that I saw.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
What is there anything when you say you want to try something else? You know, I don't have to spill the beans or anything, but do you have something specifically in mind, or?
Well, in Rhode Island we have a casino, but it's not like a full fledged casino that's you know, been there for years. It's just machines. There's no tables or anything like that. Finally got passed this past election for it to become a full-fledged casino. So there are a lot of jobs opening up, good-paying jobs. They're specifically looking for law enforcement type people. So I think I'm going to put my name in, you know, so and see what happens.
You guys back to work tomorrow as well.
Yep.
So. He'll be feeling your pain. he's. I don't think he's looking forward to it, but you know it's.
No, it's I was out 2.5 months just recuperating from an injury, but you know it was kind of like nice being out. You know, I haven't taken any time like that off in a long time. You know, my last injury was years ago on the job. You know, it was like so. I'm ready to do something new. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, it's dangerous work too. And
no, I love the thrill of it. I love, you know, the adrenaline rush and all that. You know.
Yeah, but
our
world is
getting
scarier and scarier too, Louie. You know.
What
yeah.
that is.
So.
No, Jerry just said
a little safer.
Jerry just said it seems to be getting scarier and scarier in law enforcement. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, well, I kind of agree. The kids today don't really care. They don't have any respect.
Yeah.
More than, you can go back 10 years ago, and it's different right now. It's like, it's just the respect is not there. They don't care. They just don't care. So.
Well, as a... You know, if you did move on, I don't want to stereotype this if it sounds like that, but in the next job, like at the casino, would you be looking into security, or do you want to do something totally different?
Not security. More like I don't know what's the word. Like a representative. What they're looking for, like floor representatives. So.
Okay.
Not security. I know guys from my job that have retired that are there as security right now. That's not something I want to do. I'd be bored out of my mind doing that.
So you're not going to try to be a professional boxer or anything? Huh?
Nah. No professional boxing. No, not me, Paul. Just keep working out, having fun, you know. And,
yeah, you probably could coach though.
Yes. No, I do. You know, I do help out my buddy at my gym a lot. So you know, with different things. So you know, we're having fun with that. You know, he's up and coming with his gym and with the local promoter who's really big out here in New England. He loves him. And we had, you know, a really nice showing the other day at the gym with numerous boxers, local boxers and MMA fighters. And we even had a karate demonstration. The Muay Thai instructor broke bricks and stuff. While, you know, one with his hand, like he did like seven of them with his hand, and then about like 10 with his head. You know, like it's crazy. So,
well, shall we play our spoiler alert and get started?
Sure.
Okay, let's do this.
I'm sorry, I created that clip and I keep laughing every time. Oh my God, Paul, what's wrong with you?
That was a great show back in the day, Dragnet.
Yeah,
I love Dragnet. I think it was Superman played either before it or right after it, one or the other.
Oh, yeah, back in those days.
That was good days, good days. All right, The Amazing Race, Season 22, leg number 4. And we still got, you know, we ended off last week in Bora Bora, and we ended up with Dave and Connor at the finish line, only to be told by Phil that the race is not over. And it was like they led you to believe that Dave was going to quit at that point, which, you know, just watching the guy from the last leg of the race, I'm like, this guy's not a quitter. You know, I think he'll have his son carry him if he has to. I mean, you got to give them credit. They have one hell of a team. They came in first last week. And they started off this league pretty strong.
And they really left us hanging when
the show
ended.
Really
they don't often do that, but they really left everybody hanging, you know, with, you know, it's not going to end here. They just said, you know, the race continues. They gave Dave and Connor their clue, and we didn't even know who came in, how they placed after Dave and Connor.
Right, right. They didn't. They didn't say anything after that. They didn't say boo. So it was obviously done on purpose. But you know what it is now, that this is the longest leg in the history of Amazing Race. You know, between leg 3 and 4 lasted approximately 4 days of racing. You know, if you look at things like, you know, when they left Bora Bora, they had to travel 4,000 miles. To Bali, Indonesia. So that's a lot of time in a plane. Now, I was able to sleep well in the plane. On the other hand, Mike had his issues because he's a big guy, you know, and you're not, it's like leg room and stuff like that. Some places are hard to sleep, something like, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, they're on a plane, they were on a plane a lot. So maybe that had to be where they got their sleep. You know, for that leg of the race.
Well, I can imagine Mike had a hard time sleeping when you were when you lay your head on his chest. I mean, come on, Dad.
I had to lay my head somewhere. But anyways, when they so here we go. Dave and Connor are still in the game. The father and son, the cancer survivors, they're still playing. Jessica and John, the dating couple, they still, at this point, they still had an express pass. You know, then we got Bates and Anthony, the hockey players, still in the game. Joey and Megan are still in the game. The YouTube couple, friends. Then you got the dating couple, John and Jessica. And you got the soccer moms, Mona and Beth. Max and Katie, newlyweds. And the best friends, Pambler and Winnie. Who did I miss? Did I miss anybody? Chuck and Winona. Okay, Chuck and Winona, the married couple, and you got Carolyn and Jen, the country singers. So
I need to ask at this point, I mean, I have seen before where the episode ends, you know, they get on the mat and they get handed another clue.
Yep.
Is that always guaranteed that the last person will continue on, or could Chuck and Winona, they actually arrived last?
No, well, from what it's understood, as Phil said, the race is not over. here's your next clue.
So that's right. Okay.
There was no question on whether or not the person who came in last, you know, there was no penalty for them coming in last. There's no, like, oh, you got to do a speed bump, nothing. So it's just
the race
light
wasn't
continued.
Over yet.
Right. So the
okay.
league was not
I
over.
Got it.
Got it. All right. So all the teams, they got on flights. It was like, that was really confusing. But there were three different flights that they got on with a connecting flight. And when they finally got into Bali, Indonesia, they had to find this monkey bar where they
hey,
had to...
Hey, Louis, yes. I have to... This is kind of a race question for you.
Sure.
But why was it that it seemed like this time the answer was to go to a travel agency? I mean, they all seemed to go that route as opposed to going right to the airport. Why was that?
I mean, I don't know. When you're in a, I mean, they kind of probably they might have been led in that direction. That's the possibility. It all depends on the time of day. You know, when we were on the race, there were travel agencies that were open at like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know that they pay these travel agencies to be there. You know, so. I think it's part of, you know, maybe they might get something from the travel agency or whatever, you know, it's for cost reasons. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question, but, I mean, you want to try, you're always trying to find your quickest way to get that flight. So the travel agency might have been closer than going to the airport.
Okay.
You know, and then when you get to the airport, it doesn't mean that the agency is going to be open. Eva.
Yeah, I just remembered there have been past seasons where I've seen somebody, let's go to a travel agency, and a whole bunch of other people are going to the airport, and it's kind of a mixture. But this episode, it seemed like almost to the team, they were all at a travel agency. So maybe they did get a heads up that's the way they had to do it this way.
Yeah, it appeared they all were at the same agency, so... they probably just all headed there.
Okay.
You know, on the clue, they may not have read it on the clue, but they might have said on the clue, you know, go to, you know, XYZ travel agency.
Okay.
To book your next trip. You know, they just probably just didn't say it. So, all right. So they get the ballet, they get the monkey body, they had to give the monkeys a coconut. They wait for the monkey to break open the coconut for their next clue. I was curious on how long some of them took. You know, like some seemed like it was quick. Other times it seemed like the monkey took it and ran off with it, came back. You know, if you watch, sometimes the people that work there, would hand the clue off to the teams at points. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And it's almost as if like. The monkey might have went up into like a wooded area, and they broke it open, and they grabbed it and gave it to him.
Or the monkey ran off with their
or the
coconut.
Monkeys could have been dangerous, too. You know, those monkeys will bite you.
Right.
You're playing around with their food.
The timing would have been interesting to see how long it took, because that was really a crapshoot to be at the mercy of, you know. A monkey, and how quickly was this monkey going to open up, and would this monkey carry it off with him? The tourists, you know, I can't remember which team it was, but one of the girls said, guys, could you just stand back? You're spooking our monkeys out. I mean,
it was a real
crapshoot.
I think that was, I want to say that was Pamela and Winnie. That when that happened,
yeah,
they said, move back.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, all right. Once they got the next clue, it was a detour. All right? So it was either Sandy Bottom or Fruity Top. Sandy Bottom was they had to take the volcanic sand from the river and fill up these baskets and then bring it to this guy and put it in a pail. They had it like it was like 200 yards from the river. So they had to carry this basket on their head to this guy, pour it in the pail, and had to be filled to a designated line. And then the fruity top was to build a religious offering with fruit. Then it had to be brought to a temple where a priest blessed it. So most teams went and did the fruity top. Almost every team did. Even Jessica and Jim started there, but they had their issues and problems. And at that point in time, they started questioning whether or not they should use their express pass. And Mona and Beth are the only ones that actually went and did the sand for the Sandy Bottom. I tell you what, Sandy Bottom actually looked easier than doing the fruit thing. I mean, if you're good with your hands, I guess the fruit thing was a big deal. Not a big deal, but
yeah, I think it didn't look as time consuming. Creating that piece of artwork is basically what they were, you know, creating with the fruity top. It was a piece of artwork that they had to, you know, we've seen past Amazing Race seasons where they're instructed to replicate something, and it can be very hard if those guys are picky as far as to details.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised that more people didn't pick the Sandy Bottom because it was basically fill it up, walk up the stairs,
yeah.
Fill it up, walk up the stairs. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit grueling, but my goodness, the time it would take to get those. I mean, think of how many pieces of fruit, you know,
well, exactly.
And items
I mean, like,
they had to create.
What I think the fortunate thing for them was that, like you said, that the person judging the fruit basket when it was done wasn't overly particular on, you know, being exact. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, but past episodes, past seasons, when they've had to put stuff together, there's been times when they have been so picky, and you know, people get frustrated. Well, Mona, I mean, sorry, Jessica and John had their issues, and they totally were off kilter with the whole thing, not doing it right, and again, like I said, they discussed using the express pass, but didn't, and then decided to go over to do Sandy Bottom. Where they did that, and then they was like, oh, well, let's go see what the next thing is, you know, what one will think if they clue.
Yeah, it was Jessica kept suggesting to use it, but John said, no, let's just keep going. We'll go to the other detour, and if Beth and Mona are still there, you know, then we'll do it, but if they're not there, then maybe he was pitching that to Jessica. He says, how does that
right.
plan sound? And she goes, yeah, that sounds good. Let's try that. Now, I do understand that is a valuable thing to have in their possession. And if they think that they, you know, aren't threatened, that they won't want to hold on to it. But, boy, I'm just sitting there going, oh, God.
It just reminded me of Survivor, back when with the Grave Digger, when they misuse the idol, you know,
yep.
this was a misuse of the express pass tonight. I mean, I totally thought so. So once they finished Sandy Bottom or Fruity Top, their clue was to go to the Uluwatu Surf Beach and to search for their next clue. Once they got there and located the clue, it was a roadblock. And the roadblock was a surf shop. You had to find a surfing board with a picture of something encountered throughout the race. So it was a picture of the priest that blessed them in leg two, I believe it was. So Dave and Connor were the first ones to get there. Dave and Connor picked the correct board on the first shot, and they again were team number one.
I beg to differ, because I think I can't remember whether it was Pam or Winnie that was down there, and she found it first. Remember, and Connor kept trying to take a peek, and she wouldn't show it to him.
Right, right, yes, yes. You're right.
Yeah,
but she went off in the wrong direction.
Yes.
So.
Oh my God! Just to find the way down there, to find the way back up there. I mean, that was almost harder in itself.
Oh yeah. Well, it's the game of chance at times too. You know, and right. Hey, if you can get a little peek and see, it's not cheating. You know, seeing what she picked. She picked that. Well, you know, and so you pick the right board, and they get to the mat, and you know, Phil gave them each $5,000 as winning the leg of that race. So,
well,
I mean, good for them.
Here's this guy with a torn Achilles, the father, and they win back-to-back first place. I mean, that's amazing. That was really
good. That's pretty incredible, exactly. I mean, even after taking a flight, and pretty much being almost even coming off the flight and stuff. So,
right.
Hey, good for them. I mean, cheers to see how they do next year. I mean, there's gonna come a time during the race, I believe. I can't believe that they could win it. I can't because there's gonna be a time during the race where they both have to work together on something, and
or
his leg being bad the way it is, it's gonna inhibit him from doing so. So.
Or it could, this particular one, it could have said, if your partner did the last one, you have to do this one, and
Oh no, you're right, because there is going to come a point during the race too that Connor can only do so many of the roadblocks. You both have to do an even amount. So say there's 12 roadblocks total. Once Connor gets to that point where there's six, I mean, that's the game they should play for now. Just let Connor keep doing the roadblocks and driving the cars and doing whatever and see how long they can last until that point comes. So anyways, Pamela and Winnie came in second. Max and Katie came in third. And I love the fourth team, Carolyn and Jen, twice they got the wrong board. But I guess they were so far in front of the team that came in fifth, Joey and Megan, that on their third try, they finally got it right. Third time's a charm. They finally got it right.
I know maybe she should have been a little bit smarter when she was looking at the surfboard. She was seeing a surfboard, and she was talking herself into that's what the right symbol is. She would look at it and said, yeah, we've seen surfers. Yeah, we've been in Bali. It's like she was forcing herself to believe it was the right one. And the journey up those steps was just physically draining. And it was, I knew she had the wrong one the second time, and I was already hurting for her, knowing that she would have to do it again. It was just.
I think the thing is that they knew how to get to Phil, so they didn't have to worry about that. It's just like you said, it's the journey up and down the stairs, which must have been really draining on her. So, team number five, Joey and Megan, they got the correct board. And then team number six, it was Mona and Beth.
Before Mona and Beth got the official number six, we started the Odyssey of Chuck. Chuck actually hit the mat after Joey and Megan, and he got it wrong. And then at some point, wasn't he running through a hole in the rocks and down the? I mean, the poor guy was going all over the place.
Oh yeah, he was all over the place. Exactly, he was all discombobulated. So Mona and Beth took them. It took them two times, but they got it on the second try, so they stayed in sixth position.
Yep.
who am I missing? Like I'm missing someone here. Oh, no, here we go. All right, so the seventh team to come in, Chuck and Winona came in, but they had the wrong board. So Bate and Anthony were pretty much behind them. They came in seventh.
And they started off early in the race. They were dead last, so they were thrilled to be number seven.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then Chuck and Winona got it right and coming in number eight. And Jessica and John came in ninth and were eliminated with the express pass.
Oh.
And he was a basket case. Did you see him? I mean, standing there, I mean, even before they, you know, coming to that, he's like, he wanted to go to see Phil on the mat and then just look and then come back. And she's like, Jessica's just pretty much like, what
the heck are you doing?
You know?
He was certainly bullheaded and focused, you know, in the task and absolutely was dogged. I mean, he just wanted to keep going and wanted to do it the right way. But, oh, my God, he I wish she had been able to get through to him, but he was determined to hold on to that that express pass. And it is I tell you, I was feeling badly for him until he said something, and then I thought to myself, fine, I'm kind of okay with you getting eliminated. I was feeling badly for him.
Yeah, you know, when he said he's zero regrets, you know, I have zero regrets. I mean, come on, how can you not have regret of not using that express pass?
And you know? then he says, to be honest with you, I don't need $1 million. And I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. What about Phil, the face? what was the Jewish?
Oy vey. There you go.
Oy vey.
Oh
man, he's gonna regret that. He will regret that. I mean, you come in first, the very first thing in the race, you get two express passes, and you blow it. No, it was a crazy ending. So, I mean, we're looking at it like, oh, my God. He's, like, losing it. He's, like, losing it, literally. So, but
well,
I would love to hear his story someday, you know?
Yeah, I would like to hear. You know what? That quote really bothered me about he didn't need a million. But afterwards, I got to thinking, you know what? There probably was much more of that conversation and whatever preceded it. I bet you they just edited out and just used that part of what he said. And
that's
hoping that's the case, that there was a lot more, it was taken out of context.
Yeah.
But that really, you know, if it wasn't out of context and he made that comment, that immediately thought, okay, I'm not really sorry that you left, you know, by saying that. But I think it was Bates and Anthony who wanted to do the sandy, what was it called? The sandy bottom thing.
Oh yeah, they wanted to do the sandy bottom, but they got a bad taxi ride. You know, that happens. Just had a bad taxi ride. The guy knew where the other one was, so he took it. You know, they had to make a choice. They couldn't play games.
Well,
at that point,
at least they made a choice, you know, early enough for them not to, you know, get screwed over, but and stay in the game. But
I give them credit. They put, you know, they put the foodie thing together, the foodie basket. So you know, it was a matter of detail and you're looking at the basket. So I mean. It didn't look that difficult. I just think Sandy Bottom would have been more of a, you know, quicker challenge for them, definitely. So,
yeah.
So
I think they would have killed that challenge if they had gotten there.
But I was laughing, like, they all, you know, at first I thought they all got on the same flight, the way it was said, all teams, you know. But then I was laughing, thinking of you, Paul, because, you know, how you were doing all this work and all this, you know, on the same damn flight. I was just picturing you getting all pissed off. But That didn't happen.
No, at least this time there was a a bit of variance, and I don't know. It's just it doesn't bug me as much as it used to, but it's still, you know, I know it's part of the game. I'm starting to get used to it, but it just.
Just imagine though, traveling 4,000 miles, though. That must have been, that had to be a day in itself, you know, right there. Just the traveling by planes, getting on one plane, getting on another plane and traveling. That had to be a whole day just alone. 4,000 miles. What is it like from the East Coast to the West Coast of the United States is what?
About 3,000.
About 3,000. So, I mean, well, maybe it's not as, all right. Well, and that's about, a 6-hour flight, right, from the East Coast?
Well, I would say it's probably, close to a 5.5-6-hour flight from east to the West Coast, and then you add another third of that. Let's say it is 6 hours. You add another two, if it's nonstop.
Right.
And if you add another 2 hours, that would probably get you another 1,000 miles. So.
Right.
Nonstop 4,000 miles would probably be close to 8 hours.
Yeah, you got to figure anywhere between 8 and 10 hours. So, that's a long time to be in a plane, Even if there was a connecting flight. But, I don't know. I just, do you have any insight, Jerry? Yeah, you're being very quiet. Is everything okay? Is she there? Paul?
I think she's, there she is.
I'm here.
So, any insights or questions on you, Jerry? Does anybody have any questions? Did anybody ask anything?
I thought it was pretty cool that Dave and Connor won $5,000 each, I think. But,
They
can probably use it to recuperate after they get off of this race. They're certainly showing the sportsmanship they have to run this race.
Oh yeah, they're very. I believe they're a well liked team. I really thought Jessica and John were going to be that team It was season 15, and it was, Paul, you won't remember because I don't think you watched, but
no.
Season 15, there was a husband and wife, and the husband used to put tons of gel in his hair. They goofed on him on my season, the people that worked with them. They said he actually, at one of the airports, he couldn't take the gel through. They wouldn't let him, and so he just took it and put it all in his hair and didn't wash his hair for so many days. And it stood up. It was whenever you watched him on TV, his hair was always standing up perfect. But that's who they reminded me of. I can't think of the name of the couple that they won that season 15. But Jessica and John, I really thought they were going to be the team to really watch this season, but I guess not. I mean, they really fell apart.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious now. It's kind of interesting. There's nobody I can really pick out right now. Bates and Anthony, they seem just like a strong team. Like I said, I don't think Dave and Connor have a chance. There's no way they can move on, totally to the end to win this race. In Dave's condition. So Pamela and Winnie have been playing very well.
Did you happen to catch that Pam said that she designed sets for a living? And when they were doing that Fruity Top, she said, that it was going to help her in that challenge because she designed sets and she can take something like that and design that rather easily because she does that kind of thing for a living. So I think that really assisted her in flying through that challenge and getting out first, but then they couldn't find their way. They got lost. So I think directions for them is going to, you know, hurt them, not the challenges so much.
Right. Well, let's move on. Max and Katie, Katie didn't bash Max at all. So, you know, it's funny. It was the opposite this time. It was Jessica and John. When John went to take the stick out of Jessica's hand, I thought she was going to take it and stick it in his eyeball. But Carolyn and Jen, they've been playing an excellent game so far. It's hard.
Oh.
I mean, who are you picking? Like, I mean, I have nobody I can pick right now. I don't know.
I was just, when you brought that up and I looked down the list, I was feeling the same way. It's hard to pick, but when you brought up Caroline and Jennifer, it reminded me of one of my favorite moments was when they sang their song in the taxi cab.
Yeah, they got nice voices, that's for sure.
Yeah, they do. That was pretty cool.
That was nice, harmonizing. Yeah, they must have practiced that. They had to. You know, you think about it, though, right? And you're like, they didn't just start singing that. They you know, they made a song, throw an Amazing Race in there. So they must have been, like, practicing it on a plane or doing some, you know, before the before that regular race or something. But,
every team that I look at, they have some weaknesses, you know, that we've seen exposed.
Yeah, no, nobody's, like, there's no superpowers, exactly. I'll tell you what, if Dave and Connor were 100%, if Dave was 100%, that would be the team.
That Dave's
in good shape, man, you know, for somebody his age. So
I agree. You know, I kind of Mona and Beth is kind of
sleepers,
the sentimental
sleepers right now.
Yeah, you know, I kind of root for them sentimentally, if you will. But
yeah,
they've shown weaknesses as well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. It's gonna be it's a tough season so far. You can't really pick. I can't, at least. I don't know. I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out yet. There's no team to figure out. This is gonna be one right down to the end. I mean, I'm assuming we may see good teams that you think are strong getting knocked off. You know, so. Well, hey, it was a good night, Terry. I hope you feel better. I know you said you weren't feeling well earlier, and we'll get together and I'll help you out with that program. I'm sorry it didn't work for you, but it'll work. I'll try to talk you through it this time. Paul, how did you make out with the snow, Paul?
We ended up where I live in north of the city, probably, excuse me, about 9 inches, but within a couple of days, we're back to normal here. And,
oh, yeah, it was the same with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that snow and it was just like all of a sudden I'm like, oh God. But like the next day it got warm and it just like melted quick. So thankfully.
Right.
I'm done with the snow. I'm done. I don't want any more snow.
I agree. This time of year at least, it's not gonna be around long, you know, if you do get it.
So. No. Well. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It was another amazing evening with the always awesome Cherry and the amazing Paul. You guys are the backbone of this operation, and I am just a pawn, and I am, you know, and I am blessed to be with you guys, and I appreciate you having me. And
you're never
always
a pawn, Louie.
I agree. I was bristling when he said that because don't sell yourself short. You're the key for our aging race show. I mean,
I appreciate
the star
that.
Of our show.
There you go.
We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for you.
Well, this week was a crazy week, being back to work and stuff, and so I kind of slacked on trying to get guests and stuff like that. But I'll be working it, and we'll have pretty sure we'll have a couple of good guests next week. I've talked to a couple of people, so we'll figure it out. And I will, and again, Cherry, I'll help you out with that program so you can get moving on that. You know, once you get it, you'll know exactly what to do. And I'm going to be off to bed because I got to go fight crime in the morning.
All right. Well, you be safe, Louie. Take very good care.
All right, guys. Have a great evening.
All right. Take care.
All right. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And just a quick reminder of the shows that we have coming up this week. Tomorrow is Manic Monday, and we have special guest Nyanka Mixon coming on tomorrow, as well as I'll be saying some thank yous to everyone who was so kind and generous to me after my house fire. So I would like everyone who called in for that initial show after my house fire to please call back in tomorrow so that I can say thank you. And we'll be talking to Nyanka from Survivor. So make sure that you call in and listen to tomorrow's Manic Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And then we move on to our Thursday Survivor show. And Survivor Caramone, this week, the roundtable show, we will have Travis Bubba Sampson as our host, as always, but we will have Brandon Hance back with us. And we've all seen the previews of what this Survivor this week looks like, and I'm sure Brandon is going to be the one to talk to this week after seeing what the previews of this week's Survivor Caramone looks like. So make sure you join us at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for the Survivor Caramone Roundtable Show here on the Rad Reality Network show. And Paul and I will be here. Travis Bubba Sampson will be here to host that show.
I think it was during the Amazing Race tonight, a new commercial for Thursday's or Wednesday's Survivor show, where we got a glimpse of Jeff saying we're going to hold a tribal council right now, and we see him standing next to Brandon. Did you see that ad today?
I did.
That added a new little twist. So something big happened for that. I mean, how strange is it? Yes.
So I can't wait to talk to Brandon on Thursday. Like I said, he's going to be the one to have on the show on Thursday because he's going to have some splaining to do.
Lucy. No. Ricky.
It's definitely going to be one of those shows where I think we're going to have the guest of the week, according to what's going on Survivor.
Now, I don't know if you caught it or if our listeners are aware of it, but our friend Joanne Heaney, she's doing coverage of Big Brother Canada this year, and they had a live interview on their YouTube stream on Friday night with Kat Yee, who was the first evictee of Big Brother Canada. And I just want to remind you people that they will be doing those interviews on their YouTube stream every Friday night at, unless they change the time, it'll be 10 p.m. Eastern. And they did take some questions later in the interview via Twitter. And Joanne did ask one of my questions, and before she asked it, she did bring up the Rad Reality Show and said that she, we're going to have to check with her, but she said that she is doing a segment on Manic Mondays.
Yes, she will be with us tomorrow on Manic Monday to talk about Big Brother Canada. So make sure you're there, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Joanne, he will be with us. So it's going to be one of those shows where it's an action-packed show. Lots to talk about, as Niall said in the chat room, so much reality, so little time.
Yep, and she also was asking, and I don't know the answer, and I'm wondering if you are able to answer her question. Do you know if she can get the Joe Schmo show online? Because it's not being repeated on Spike. But I'm wondering if have you seen whether they broadcast on their internet site those episodes, or did you see them all on TV?
I believe that she can get them on Hulu, or possibly Netflix, but I'd have to go back and look to see.
Okay.
I think Hulu may have them, though. But anyway, that's a wrap for us tonight. I want to thank everyone for joining us, and I hope we have you with us the rest of the week. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as always. Hope everyone out there has a wonderful week. Take care, everyone. See you tomorrow and on Thursday here on the Rad Reality Show Network. Here's Ron.
Tonight was a great show. And
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life, darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I'm singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
So thank you guys. Love you.
Love you all. Take care. Be safe out there. Be kind to each other. God bless.